Turn your Bibles today to Psalm 102. We're going to look at Psalm 102 today. It's a messianic psalm, and what that means, of course, is it's a psalm that's quoted in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's quoted in the New Testament as referring to Him. Not the whole psalm, but a certain portion of it, actually, basically verse 24 to 28. The closing part of the psalm is quoted in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, and we'll turn to that in a minute. But the rest of the psalm, actually, we can make some application to the Lord Jesus, but not completely. And we would understand the preceding verses, for example, verse 1 down to about verse 13 or so, or verse 12. The future Jewish remnant, as they pass through the tribulation, will go through many deep trials, and they'll feel the hand of God upon them. They'll feel His indignation and His wrath because of their disobedience. Now, the Lord Jesus never knew that in His life, and we have to be absolutely clear about that. The Lord Jesus did not do any sin-bearing in His life. He was the sinless one, and it was only on the cross, especially those 3 hours of darkness, that He bore the judgment for our sins, that He was the sin bearer. So we have to be absolutely clear of that. But the Lord, in all the things that He passed through down here, can sympathize and feel in His spirit. He felt in His spirit when He was here, and therefore able to sympathize with them all that the future remnant will pass through. Rejection, for example. And so we see this. And we often read this verse, verse 7, for example, at the Lord's table or at the Lord's Supper. I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. Now, this is not, we cannot literally apply this to the Lord Jesus, officially apply it to Him in any way. And as I say, prophetically has application to the people of Israel, as all of these early verses in the psalm do, for example, where it says, because of thine indignation and thy wrath, Thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth. I am withered like grass. It's referring to their desolation during that time in the Great Tribulation. And as I say again, let's be absolutely clear. The Lord Jesus in no way at any time was bearing sin during His life. But yet, nevertheless, He can identify and sympathize with them. He felt desertion, not by God, but by even by His own. And that verse 7 again, I watch and am as a sparrow alone on the housetop. You know, we think of the Lord Jesus, you know, in His life, and all the disciples forsook Him and fled. With the sparrow, they're actually a social bird. They travel in flocks. But here we see an odd thing. We see a sparrow all alone on the housetop. And in this way, it's an apt picture of the Lord Jesus. You know, we often sing this hymn in connection with this verse. Alone in the hall of decision, His judgment was taken away. Alone on the cross of derision, of darkness, distress, and dismay. So when we read verse 10, because of thine indignation, thy wrath, we cannot connect this to the Lord Jesus with His life on the earth. But certainly, when He was on the cross, He bore the judgment that was due to us and the people of Israel. He bore the wrath of God on the cross. But again, these verses cannot in any way be applied to the Lord Jesus in His life. But He, as that one here on the earth, can sympathize with certain features that are brought out in these verses. But then we get to our prophetic part of the psalm, looking towards the future restoration of Israel and the millennium once again. And so we see in verse 15, it says, so the heathen, that is the nations, shall fear the name of the Lord, all the kings of the earth, thy glory. Well, that can't be said today. Certainly the kings of the earth and all the nations do not fear the Lord today. This is looking forward to the conversion of the nations after the coming of the Lord. And so verse 16 really clarifies it for us when it says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. You know, when the Lord restores Zion, and Zion here is the city of Jerusalem. It's not heaven here. It's the city of Jerusalem. We get that in verse 21. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion and His praise in Jerusalem. We have to rightly divide the word of truth, friends. We can't just spiritualize these verses away. We can make application. But we're speaking here in these meditations more along the line of their interpretation rather than their application, although I make a few applications here and there as I go. So we get the return of the Lord Jesus in glory, and all the nations will see him, and the kings of the earth will see his glory, verse 15. And then it says, verse 17, he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And then verse 18, this shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Again, it's looking to the future Jewish remnant. And he will not despise their prayer. He will hear their prayer, the prayer of the destitute one. He will hear from heaven and come to rescue them. That's what we get in verse 19 and 20. He hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that were appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. And then verse 22, when the peoples, the King James or the Authorized Version here has when the people, but if you look at the Darby translation, you'll see when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. When you get people singular, it's Israel. When you get the peoples plural, it's the Gentile nations. And they will all be together, the Jews, the Jewish people, the people of Israel, and the kingdoms of this world, the nations, the Gentile nations, will come together to serve the Lord, and Jerusalem will be the focal point of their service. Then we get the final verses, which are applied to the Lord Jesus officially in the New Testament. Verse 23, he weakened my strength in the way, he shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away. In the midst of my days, thy years are throughout all generations. It can be translated, verse 24 can be translated, or the word midst, in the midst, that is in mid-course, that in the middle of my life, take not my life away. Take me not away in the middle of my life. In fact, this is what happened to the Lord Jesus. At 33 years of age, he was cut off out of the land of the living. We see his perfect manhood here, and this is what is so striking about these verses, in which we get his perfect manhood seen as that he's a dependent man, he's dependent upon God, but then we get his divinity brought out. He's a divine person with a divine name, because verse 25 says, as it continues on, of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, the heavens are the work of thy hands, they shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture thou shalt change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. And the word here, same, is actually a divine name. It's the self-existent one. It's the eternal. If you have the Darby Bible, you may want to check out a footnote that we get in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, that explains the meaning of this name in the Hebrew. And it says in verse 28, the children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. That is, again, the believers in Israel during the millennium. But these verses, verse 24 to 27 specifically, are applied to the Lord Jesus in the epistle to the Hebrews. It shows him praying not to be cut off in mid-course and his life shortened. But then we see the psalmist saying, thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, this very one who prays not to be cut off. And now in reading this, we may not have connected it with the Lord Jesus, but we have the New Testament, again, to help us with this. As we often say, the New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed. So if we turn to Hebrews chapter 1, we see verse 9, starting verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of thine hands. This is exactly the quotation from Psalm 102 that we just read. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as a garment. And as a vesture, as a robe or cloak, thou shalt fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thy years shall not fail. But notice verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? And there he quotes Psalm 110. So we're seeing the contrast in chapter 1 of the Lord Jesus between the angels, right? The Lord Jesus is the one who laid the foundations of the world. And his name is the same. That is, he's a divine person. He will not He is not the end of days or the beginning of the days. Though as a man, he was cut off in the midst of the years, yet he's greater than the angels. And this in the angels, this is what the psalmist tells us, and this is how Hebrews chapter 1 applies it. It applies it to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the eternal, he's the same. May the Lord bless you today as you meditate upon this psalm. There's a lot more in it if you would take the time to go through it, and may the Lord encourage you today. Amen.